Bob Graham says you can fight City Hall. You just need a roadmap to know how to do it. We'll speak with the former governor and senator and another top expert on policy just ahead. Good morning, live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross. We are always live at 9, and make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and the WJCT app. And just ahead, call in to speak with former Florida Governor and Senator Bob Graham. He and co-author Chris Hand say you can fight City Hall. And they'll take your calls about the book America, the Owner's Manual. Get on the line now at 549-2937. Then later, hear about 60 new teachers in Jacksonville, thanks to Teach for America, plus WJCT's own David Luckin and Ryan Bank with a preview of tomorrow night's big WJCT concert at Unity Plaza. All of that and more ahead. But first this hour, in 2016, primary voters turned conventional wisdom on its head. Anti-establishment candidates surged in the polls. Donald Trump battled party leaders, as did Senator Bernie Sanders, and both were able to tap into a deep vein of dissatisfaction in the electorate. Much of that frustration was fueled by voters who feel that party leadership and elected officials don't care what they think or what their needs are. Former Florida Governor and Senator Bob Graham and former Chief of Staff to Jacksonville Mayor Alvin Brown, Chris Hand, have joined together to say there is a way for people to flex those citizenship muscles and get the results they want. It's inside the pages of their book, America, the Owner's Manual. You can fight City Hall and win. We're pleased to welcome to Studio 5 former Senator and Governor Bob Graham. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Melissa. Thank you for the invitation.
And former Chief of Staff to Alvin Brown, Chris Hand. Good morning to you.
Great to be here, Melissa. Thank you.
And here's our question to callers. Do you think you can fight City Hall? Have you wanted to? What are your questions? Give us a call at 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online to wjctnews.org/firstcoastconnect. Email, tweet the show, or weigh in on our Facebook page. Senator, good to be with you. This is the second go-round on this book for you and Chris Hand. And your timing's pretty darn good, I got to say.
Well, I think it is, because if we're learning anything from this presidential election, it is how dissatisfied so many people are. I had a man come up to me in the airport yesterday and in 30 seconds blasted me about immigration, about no jobs, about some environmental issue in his neighborhood, and then in frustration, you know, walked away. That's the man that we are trying to reach, to say you don't have to think that as a citizen you have to take it. You can actually make a difference. In fact, that's one of the earliest characteristics that identified Americans, as opposed to Europeans, that the sense of their ownership of their government and the ability to make it work for them.
And that's the title of the book, Chris, America, the Owner's Manual. So many voters feel as though they don't have any kind of say in the political process. We've certainly seen that anger expressed this year. Your argument is, actually, you do, if you know the right way to go about it.
Well, that's exactly right, Melissa. And part of our argument is you don't have to just invest your hopes and concerns in a particular candidate to make sure they're heard. Back in January, the Rand Corporation did a poll of Republican primary voters, and what they found that of those voters who said the main reason they were voting was because they felt like they no longer had a voice in government, 86% of those cast their ballots for Donald Trump. Our point in this book is you don't have to rely on a candidate. You've got all the skills and knowledge, know-how, and opportunity you need to be effective in moving government yourself and making it work for you.
It's 549-2937 to connect with Senator and former Governor Bob Graham and his co-author Chris Hand about their book, America, the Owner's Manual. And so, when you mentioned going through the airport and seeing this angry guy kind of come up to you, how often does that happen to you?
And
frequently? Yeah. And what do you say to people when they come up to you and they complain about all of these issues that they're really angry about?
Well, if I was being commercial, I'd say,
you know, buy my book.
Buy my book and find the answers. If you don't have much time, I try to give the message that Chris just did, that you don't have to assume the only way that you can influence government is by voting, although that's very important. Our democracy was designed to give citizens many entry points, opportunities to make a difference. The problem is it's like a football team. If you don't go out and practice on the field and know what you're doing and know the techniques that are necessary to be successful, you're probably going to lose a lot of games. Mm-hmm. And as a citizen, similarly, there are techniques that have to be at least understood and hopefully mastered. And if they are, your chances of success increase dramatically. To illustrate that, each of the 10 chapters of our book starts with a case study of a group of citizens who saw a problem, and they came up with a strategy to solve that problem. This is an indication that this is not something that just a few people can engage in, that it's open to all citizens who are prepared to invest the time to know what to do and then to execute.
And to our callers, let us know, are you voting for Donald Trump or someone else or Hillary Clinton because you feel frustrated with the political process? The number to join us is 549-2937. Chris Hand, you report in this book that a 2015 Pew Charitable Trust survey found 74% of Americans believe most elected officials don't care what people like them think. So what strategies do you outline in the book that people can harness and try to use so that they can get better results, particularly at the local level?
Well, Melissa, the book takes a twofold strategy. One is to sort of describe the skills that are important for effective citizenship. So each chapter describes a different skill, whether it's defining the problem, identifying who in government's the right decision maker and how to persuade them, engaging the media. So there's 10 chapters, each with a different skill. But as Senator Graham said, I think in many ways, what we've really tried to do with the book is provide examples of citizens who have done that. For example, he said, as he mentioned, every chapter leads with a citizen's story of someone who's been effective in moving government in their direction. The book leads with an overall case study, which is called Green Tea, which is about the somewhat unholy alliance between the Georgia Tea Party, the Georgia Sierra Club, and solar power advocates to force Georgia Power, their major utility, to adopt solar energy as a greater part of their energy mix there. Mm-hmm. So we provide those examples, and throughout the book, we have 35 what we call tips from the pros, advice from people who are in the trenches every day, working on issues, trying to move government in their direction so that citizens have that. And that includes a couple of people from Jacksonville, Deborah Gianolis from the Schultz Center, who's a former TV anchor, and Leanna Gutierrez-Cumber, who's a financial expert, telling citizens how they can help find governmental resources. So it's not about just teaching the skills. It's about showing citizens others have done this before, so you can too.
Right. Let's go to your calls right now as we speak with authors Bob Graham and Chris Hand. The former Florida governor and senator has teamed up with the former City Hall staffer Alvin Bratt. Oh, we lost those calls, but we'll reboot. Senator Graham, let me ask you as well. You took this book to the Democratic National Convention, both of you did, where we saw a lot of anger and frustration among Bernie Sanders supporters. As he did not win the Democratic nomination, there was this very strong populist movement on the left for Sanders. We've seen a corresponding populist and nationalist sort of movement on the right for Donald Trump. When you were at the convention and talking about the ideas in your book, did you sense that people were responding to that, or did you sense anger among the Sanders camp? Because as I watched the conventions on TV, on the convention floor, I saw a lot of Sanders anger, of people that liked Bernie Sanders who felt that their voice was being drowned out.
Well, people are always disappointed, and sometimes that disappointment goes to vocal, hopefully not violent, anger when their candidate doesn't win. What we're saying is that if you were a Bernie Sanders supporter or if you're a Donald Trump supporter, you don't have to rely on the success of that individual candidate in order to make your voice heard. In fact, probably the quicker method is to identify the problem that causes you concern, particularly if it's a local problem, if it's something in your school, something in the way the parks are being maintained, mm-hmm. the transportation system, and apply these skills of effective citizenship, you can, in a reasonable period of time, begin to see that you are making a difference.
We're good to go again. As we take your calls for Bob Graham and Chris Hand about their book, America, the Owner's Manual, You Can Fight City Hall and Win. We're talking politics on the show. Give us a call at 549-2937. And Chris Hand, that is sort of the key in the sense that I think many Americans feel their ballot is their only voice. Your argument is there are many ways to participate in the democracy. People need to think beyond just going out and voting. We don't even have enough good enough voter turnout as it is.
Well, that's exactly right, Melissa. I mean, voting is without question the most fundamental form of participation in democracy. But one of the major messages of this book is that democracy is not a spectator sport. It's a participatory sport. And there are avenues, opportunities at election time, but also throughout every other year to engage with elected and appointed officials and move government in their direction. Look, I spent 4 years at Jacksonville City Hall, and there are big decisions coming through mayor's offices, city councils, county commissions, city commissions all over the country every day that affect our daily lives and how we live in our communities. And there are lots of opportunities for citizens to get engaged, and it's our responsibility as citizens to do that.
What was it like for you being inside City Hall and having all of those pressure points coming down on your head every day from people who wanted something from you or your administration?
Well, I frankly think, Melissa, one of the most fulfilling parts of the job was hearing from citizens on the outside who had ideas, wanted to identify opportunities for the cities and figure out how to kind of work that through the process. Just speaking for myself, when you're an official in government and you see someone who's got that idea, who's got the goodwill and the good faith effort to try and make their community better, you want to do what you can to help. And so that's actually a very inspiring part of the job.
In many ways, this book started in Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah.
I was chair of the State Senate Education Committee, and we were holding hearings in schools around the state. And this particular day, we were at a senior high school, which will go unnamed, although it is named in the book. And we had a section of the program for students to come and talk about their problems. And we had an unusually large group of students. And the issue that they wanted to talk about was bad food in the cafeteria.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's probably one of the oldest
concerns
of
students. Yeah, sure.
What surprised me was not that they thought the food was bad, but that they thought the state legislature was the place to solve it. Mm. So I asked them, had they talked to anybody else about this? And they said, yes, and that made me feel better until I asked the follow-up question, who did you talk to? Well, the first person they talked to was the mayor of Jacksonville, at that time, Hans Tansler. And they said he was very polite, listened carefully, but finally told them that the mayor did not have any ability to change the food in the cafeteria. They then went to the sheriff, Dale Carson, and he listened politely and said that the food was bad, but it wasn't criminal, and therefore it wasn't his job. And so we were the third group. Well, to me, that illustrated that those students hadn't studied one of the chapters of our book, which is who is the decision maker? Mm-hmm. If you're going to get the problem solved, you've got to be talking to the person who has some ability to solve the problem.
Let's go now to lots of calls for former Florida Governor and Senator Bob Graham and co-author Chris Hand. The book is America, the Owner's Manual. Vita in Atlantic Beach. Hi, Vita. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I love the concept that, yes, we can make a difference, but I have 2 points to make, and then I'll take the response off the air. First, yes, volunteering is a wonderful thing, but the people who really want to make an impact, they're working so hard. Their children have activities after school, so trying to get involved takes so much time and energy. So I think that the people that can volunteer and help are more retired and or college students. My second point is the Atlantic Beach Gate gas station. Many people got involved, didn't make a difference. So I was very disappointed in that.
Okay, Vita. Yeah, thanks for that. What about her point?
I can't comment on the second issue of the gas station, but on the first, overworked. One of the chapters of the book is devoted to building a coalition. If you have an issue that's complicated and is going to involve a number of skills and will take not insignificant amount of time to resolve, one of the things you need to do is to find out who are other people that share your concern and begin to do a division of labor. You'll take this part, I'll take that part, mm-hmm. etc. I recognize that many people today are under a lot of stress at home, stress on the job, in their neighborhoods. But being a member of a democracy is not work-free. It's the principle of a democracy is that it's a government of, by, and for the people. And although it's easy to say, hard to do, but you need to figure out how you can join forces with like-minded others to achieve your goal.
And it's 549-2937. Valerie in Intercoastal West. Hi, Valerie. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for your time. I just have a quick comment to make. It seems that the two major parties have a stranglehold on politics in the years of late. What would you like to say to those of us who feel we are no longer represented by politicians whose sole purpose seems to be to stay in office and would like to see a shakeup and would like to see independents represented so we continue to vote independently in hopes that our views will be funded and represented? I'll gladly take my response off the air. Thanks,
Valerie. She speaks for millions of Americans, especially this year. Chris.
Well, and of course, the percentage of NPA, non-party affiliation voters in the state of Florida has been growing, and particularly among sort of younger Americans as well. And I think this presidential election, I mean, I think one thing for those people who are not aligned with one of the two major parties, they can take some heart in the fact that third-party candidates have sort of had more influence in this election in 2016 between the Libertarian and Green Party candidates than in a long time. But what I would say for those who want to help empower sort of independent political movements is the exact same skills that we describe in talking about how you're going to fight City Hall and win are the exact skills you'd want to use to sort of build these independent political movements, from engaging the media to, as Senator Graham just described, to forming coalitions, to raising the necessary resources. I think one of the most important chapters in the book is about how citizens can identify resources both for governmental decision makers if they want to have something implemented in their community, but also to raise money for their causes. So those same exact skills apply both in the governmental realm and in the political realm, and there's lots of examples out there of people who have succeeded.
Lots of examples in the book America, the Owner's Manual. You can fight City Hall and win. Lots of calls for Senator Bob Graham and co-author Chris Hand. Lori in Atlantic Beach. Hey, Lori. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa. Thank you for taking my call. Thank you, Senator Graham, for your service to our state. I've always been a strong supporter of you.
Thank you.
My question is, how do you feel about the debates being open to all presidential candidates? At this point in time, it seems like the Republicans and Democrats have a stranglehold. I was a big Bernie supporter, still am. But I would like to have the same questions asked to all the presidential candidates in one forum so that we can hear all the various different points. I personally am tending to lean towards Joe Stein now, but if everyone doesn't have the opportunity to hear all of the opinions, how are we expected to make an educated vote?
Yeah. Thanks, Laura. You know, just yesterday we had on the show William Weld, the former governor of Massachusetts. He's the vice presidential libertarian candidate for president. He's speaking at JU tonight, and he said that he and his running mate Gary Johnson are going to try to break the 15% threshold in the polls so that they can be on television in the last two presidential debates. What about that caller's question?
I would agree there need to be as many voices as possible, but it can become a confusing jumble of voices if there are too many. They're not just four candidates who are running for president. There probably will be maybe 10 or so on the ballot here in Florida. You don't hear about many of them, but they're there. So a rule had to be set, and I guess it was done primarily by the networks that they would use a 15% cut for who will get on the national debate. And Johnson and Well came very close to reaching that 15%, and maybe they will before this campaign is over.
Ilian in St. Augustine. Go ahead, Ilian.
Good morning.
Hey. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I believe that in America, we need to have better accessibility for all people to health care. One of the problems that I have is I believe it's unreasonable that our representatives in Congress and the Senate are able to have excellent health care that is largely paid for by taxpayers, and yet we have many Americans in the country who are facing increasingly higher costs to try to get health care, and yet if you live in the class of people that are in the Congress or you're in the Senate, you're able to access excellent care for very little out-of-pocket costs. I think that's unreasonable, and I think it needs to change.
Okay. There's one example, one issue that mobilized citizens could point to. What about Elaine's question?
Well, I believe in the principle that people in elective office ought to experience what the people they represent are living with. That was one of the reasons that for 30 years I took a different job every month, over 400 jobs, precisely to be able to get that direct contact with Floridians and understand what their circumstances, needs, and try to take that into account in my work in Tallahassee and Washington. In terms of specifically the health care, members of Congress do pay, and their health care policy, I'll have to say, is a good one, but it's one that is available on the market for other people, and there is a shared payment similar to what goes on between most employers and their employees in terms of health care.
Dave in Nassau County. Hi, Dave. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. My question is that there was a Princeton study done not long ago that shows that Americans' opinions and influence is virtually uncounted in Congress, mainly because Congress right now only is affected by moneyed interests of some sort. And since Citizens United came along, that exacerbated the problem. Now there's virtually no way to get any kind of voice in Congress unless you have a large backing of money in order to provide what John McCain once referred to as legalized bribery. And I'll take your response
right
off the air.
And that leads to so much of the cynicism that we see with our political system, Chris. What about that, and particularly the Citizens United decision?
Well, that's an excellent point, and we actually refer to Citizens United as one of the factors that has produced this frustration with government and the feeling that everyday citizens can't make a difference. I will tell you, though, that while I think everyone is concerned about the gridlock and partisanship that's existed in Congress, there are still opportunities for citizens to make a difference. In our second chapter, we tell the story of a group called Doorways to Dreamers from Massachusetts, which formed coalitions around the country to persuade multiple state legislatures and ultimately Congress to pass new tools allowing low-income Americans, encouraging them to save, and new financial tools to help them do that. That legislation was sponsored by Derek Kilmer, a Democrat from Washington State, and Tom Cotton, a senator from Arkansas, who are in very different places on the ideological and political spectrum, but figured out a way to think about this issue from both a conservative and more of a moderate standpoint and get it passed. And that's going to benefit a lot of people as they try to save for the future. So I think, again, when you work through the skills in the book, which is how you define a problem and ultimately how you present that to decision makers and what sort of coalitions you form,
sure,
it is possible to achieve success.
Speaking of coalitions, Senator, on Saturday, you will be on hand as Florida Blue and the Florida Conservation Coalition host Speak Up for Florida Forever. This is billed as a call to action to preserve Florida's natural lands. Can you tell us a little bit about this event? This is happening at the Camp Milton Preserve in Jacksonville.
The Florida Conservation Coalition is a coalition of major environmental organizations and several thousand individual Floridians who are concerned about the future of our state, and particularly preserving what has made Florida the special place that it is. The Speak Out program has been held at several locations in the state over the past 3 years. This will be the first time in Northeast Florida. We'll be particularly talking about the use of funds that were derived from a constitutional amendment which passed by a 75% affirmative vote, funds for land acquisition in Florida. Florida today has a population of about 21 million. It's estimated that by the end of this century, it will at least have doubled in population over the 21st century and potentially could even triple in population. This is going to put more pressure on our natural lands. It's going to put more pressure on lands which are critical to the protection of other assets like water. One of the best ways to keep water unpolluted is to have the land adjacent to the water in public hands so that it cannot be the source of activities that would pollute the lake or the river. That's the kind of thing we're going to be talking about. There'll also be music, entertainment, even a Civil War reenactment. Chris and I are going to do a session on the issue of citizen involvement. We'll be talking again about how people can use the system effectively, and they can win in terms of their own personal priorities.
That, again, is Saturday, September 24th, kicking off at 10 a.m. at the Camp Milton Historic Preserve on Helsema Road. Is that correct?
On the west side of Jacksonville.
On the west side of Jacksonville. It's Speak Up for Florida Forever, a chance to connect on this issue with Senator and Governor Bob Graham and Chris Hand. They are the co-authors of America, the Owner's Manual, How You Can Fight City Hall and Win. Gentlemen, such a pleasure. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you very much, Melissa.
Great to talk to you. And much more still ahead later, The Spectator and some other weekend events to tell you about, including WJCT's big Friday night concert at Unity Plaza. And in just a moment, it's a new school year for Teach for America. That's next.
Hendricks Avenue Baptist Church is a place to experience Christ's presence and God's Spirit in a vibrant faith community. HAB celebrates diversity, seeks to bridge differences, and journeys together in an honest and authentic search for truth. HABchurch.com. Find a different way of being Baptist.
On the next Fresh Air...
Uno, dos, y tres.
The Netflix series Narcos tells the story of Colombian drug lord Pablo Escobar, who became a billionaire making and selling cocaine. We'll talk with the show's executive producer, Eric Newman, who tells us what he learned from the DEA agents who hunted Escobar and why many Colombians saw him as a hero. Join us.
Weekdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
Attention all squad fans. This is Miss O. You know, the boss. Some very odd things are happening in your town, and we need you.
It's Odd Squad Live, Saturday, November 12th, 2 and 5 p.m., Florida Theater.
Team up with Odd Squad agents in this live interactive adventure to solve an exciting case. Well, what are you waiting for? Go!
Odd Squad Live, Saturday, November 12th, 2 and 5 p.m., Florida Theater. Tickets at floridatheater.com.
The biggest classical music festival on the planet is the BBC Proms in London. And one of the highlights of the 2016 Proms was a return visit by the Simon Bolivar Orchestra of Venezuela with their charismatic conductor, Gustavo Dudamel. Latin American music from the Proms on the next performance today from 8 p.m.
Weeknights at 7 on 89.9 WJCT.
Welcome back. Well, as the school year moves ahead this fall, 60 new core members from Teach for America are in Duval County classrooms this year. They join 70 second-year members, as well as quite a few alumni working all over town. Daryl Willey, Executive Director of Teach for America Jacksonville, joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being with us. Teach for America has been in the area for several years now, and and as you kick off a new school year, what are the big challenges and priorities for you?
I think that, honestly, Teach for America is an amazing organization. I'm just blessed to be a part of it. And number one, for folks who don't know about Teach for America, an organization, we're a leadership development organization. We bring teachers in to teach for at least 2 years in low-income schools. Folks raise their hand, volunteer, and say, these are the schools I want to work in. And then on the back end, you mentioned our alum. So folks have a decision after those 2 years about what they want to do, what they want to get involved in. And we want to make sure that we set up a system where they can be lifelong advocates for education. So some of them, many of them remain in the classroom. Many of them go on and pursue school leadership. And I think some of the, getting to your point, some of the challenges that we have are number one, just ensuring that every kid has a great education. Like that is that is at the core root of what we do. And you can't talk about the core root of education and the problems in education without talking about race and class and what's going on with that.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's do it.
And we're seeing a controversy, in fact, as we speak, over the superintendent's goals for closing the disparity gap and whether he should be retained.
Yeah.
How do you see your organization addressing that challenge in Duval County?
Yeah, definitely. We've gone through many different superintendents since we've been here. I can speak to my experience with Dr. Vitti and our relationship there. And I think about it in terms of what we're able to do. Like we bring teachers in and we try to put alum into positions and make sure they can be leaders as well. So our retention has gone up since Dr. Vitti and his administration has been here. Pathways for our teachers as well as other teachers to go into school leadership has increased. So I think we're seeing some positivity happen from it. What I do think is great about this conversation is that it should be and always should be about high expectations for kids. And at the end of the day, if we can't set high expectations for kids, then we're sort of pushing ourselves in the wrong direction. So I think it's a positive thing to talk about the intent and the impact. We have to figure out what that's going to look like.
Okay. And let me ask you, too, about criticism of Teach for America.
Yeah, please.
In 2014, a Columbia University study looked at what it found to be issues with teacher retention with TFA, and using several different analytic strategies to account for the fact that TFA teachers were on average less experienced, less likely to have majored in education, and typically they go in less advantaged school districts and schools. They found that there's no statistical difference in teacher performance pre- versus post-grant, and that's the grant, the federal grant to expand Teach for America teachers, and saying that the estimates of the positive impact were all quite small. So when you look at critics of Teach for America's effectiveness in the classroom and issues with retaining teachers, what do you say to those who, you know, they take issue with young folks coming in, teaching for a couple of years and leaving, as opposed to veteran teachers who've made a career out of it?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think one of the things that we try to do as Teach for America is be constantly improving and sort of looking at what our criticisms are. And we took those to heart. In 2014, we made some really interesting choices and some intentional choices to increase our sort of capacity around making sure folks are retained here in the city. And as I mentioned before, our retention has gone up because of that. And I think we also have to look at the education system and the teaching sort of profession as a whole. Like, I think it's going to change. Like, we have millennials and digital natives who are coming into our teaching profession, and they are doing things different than the past. It's going to be hard to find teachers that are entering now that are going to stay in that role for 30 years. That's just who the population is, and it's sort of
and why.
And I think it's because of sort of their orientation to work, an orientation to a career. Like if you talk to many folks who are graduating from college now, or even career changers, they're looking at that 1 or 2 or 3 years, and they're looking to jump to something different. I don't think that necessarily has to be the case. We can definitely put some things in place to ensure that doesn't happen, but you're going to have to fundamentally change like what people deem as a great teacher, what and how people are elevating the level of what it means to be a teacher, and even the pay. And I think some of those things have to change before. But we're doing some very intentional things to ensure that happens. And we're seeing some really positive results here in Jacksonville. People are retained. We're seeing Our core members and our alum win Teacher of the Year at very high rates in our schools. In fact, they just rolled out Teacher of the Year winners at some of our schools now. We have at least four so far. And that's not about our teacher. That's about them building relationships and understanding how to succeed in a community, in a school.
And so what you're seeing, in addition to some TFA core members coming back, you're seeing alumni of Teach for America go on to other roles because they only make a two-year commitment. Is that right?
True. So there's a two-year commitment, but there's a lifelong commitment to be an advocate for education. So after those 2 years, we have 180 folks here in Jacksonville who are deemed alum. Over 100 of those folks are still teaching in the classroom. And in fact, I'll call out Lauren Oppolito, who's at Martin Luther King Jr. Elementary School, been here since 2008 teaching. Mm-hmm. So we have folks who have that long tenure. But we also have folks who say, you know what, I want to affect and change education from different vantage points as well, whether that be from school leadership, the nonprofit sector, policy, and those sorts of things.
Here's an email that came in from a teacher.
Yeah.
Can you try to pin TFA down on the cost? I know that there is a finder's fee for each core member, although the Quality Education for All initiative may pay for it now. And they get $10,500 in loan forgiveness, something a UNF grad wouldn't get. Plus all the additional training, first and second years, go to a lot more training than veterans. Well, if most TFA core people leave after two, the district ends up spending more on training. So is this cost effective, I think, is what the question is.
Yeah, I believe it's very cost effective. I think if you look at what it costs to actually bring in a quality teacher, a quality employee to any organization, it's going to cost a good amount of money. And I think what we do is we are partners with a lot of great organizations. So we do a lot of our own private fundraising and whatnot to help raise funds. But in addition to that, we also see this as an opportunity to create lifelong leaders. So this isn't just about, yes, people going into the classroom, but this is about a larger systemic issue in education. It can't just be about great teachers. Yes, great teachers are needed, but you need great leaders. You need great policymakers. You need folks who are working in healthcare, because all those things impact students. And that gets back to the point of our students who are growing up with that intersection of race and class. And until we address that issue, we're going to be, as I mentioned before, sort of pushing ourselves back.
What's the status of Teach for America when it comes to the Race to the Top grant that came down from Washington?
Yeah.
That was 2011, right?
Yep. Yes,
so what's the next cycle for Duval County and Teach for America?
So the Race to the Top grant ended a couple years back. So that's why you see our numbers sort of going up and down a little bit. So we were at a point we were bringing in 100 core members when Race to the Top came in. At this point, we're bringing in 60. We believe that's a sustainable number for us, both with our capacity and who we can develop, but also in our capacity and what we can raise locally.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great number, because at that same time, we're growing every year, because not only do we have core members who matriculate into alumnihood, but we're doing a great job of putting Jacksonville on the map. We bring in at least 10 to 12 new alum to Jacksonville every year from other cities and other states. So I think Teach for America just being here helps to fuel the education ecosystem by just helping to bring alum here, keep alum here, as well as make sure that we're continuing to field the base, which is those new teachers.
Well, thanks for being with us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Daryl Willey, Executive Director of Teach for America in Jacksonville. And in a moment, a look at some ideas for your weekend.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, protests erupted this week after the fatal shooting of an African-American man by police in Charlotte. This after another police shooting in Oklahoma. More than 2 years after Ferguson, debate over how police departments are addressing deadly force.
At 10 o'clock on 89.9 WJCT, your community, your world.
Do you have music you want people to hear? Do you have an artistic vision you want to share? Then join these winners in The Square. The Square is an online venue where artists share their work with the community and compete for a chance to be featured on WJCT TV and radio. Submit your work now through September 30th. To learn more about the Square and to submit your work, visit wjct.org/thesquare.
Welcome back. Save the date this Friday. It's set to be a real shindig at Jacksonville's Garden Club, all to benefit the sanctuary on 8th Street. You can work off everything you ate and drank Friday night with the Avondale 5K Saturday morning. Sanctuary on 8th Street Executive Director Vicki Watkins and Karen Tucker of Biscotti's are here now. Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Melissa.
So it's shindig time again, Friday night at the Garden Club. Tell us all about it.
Well, it's a real fun party to celebrate all the accomplishments that the children have had during the year and for donors and supporters to get together and just have a good time.
$50 at the door, lots of great food, lots of music, all to benefit children at your organization. It is on 8th Street in Springfield.
Yes.
And you serve kids who are vulnerable in many ways.
Yes. Low-income children living on the east side of Jacksonville.
Yeah. So come on out for the Shindig Friday. And then, Karen, let's talk about the Avondale 5K, which is the next morning.
Yes. This is our eighth year doing this for the sanctuary. The Merchants Association is the sponsor for this. And we truly believe in the mission of the sanctuary. This year, we've got some exciting things. We're raffling off a beach cruiser.
Oh, nice.
From Open Road Bicycle, and they're providing bagels, beer, and beach cruiser. We have fabulous medals this year that we're giving out. This is our first year doing medals, and people love those medals. And it's a lovely run. It's going through Avondale. The weather's going to be beautiful. And it's for a good cause. Please come sign up. You can sign up the day of.
Right there at Shops of Avondale?
Right there in the Shops of Avondale.
Okay.
And that we have yoga den there. We have massage therapists there. It's going to be.
You have Biscotti's there.
We have Biscotti's there. We open for breakfast at 8.
Very nice. Okay. So this is all. It's a big weekend for the Sanctuary on 8th Street. Just go to their website, sanctuaryon8th.org. Come on out Friday night to the Shindig at the beautiful Garden Club in Riverside. And then the next morning, roll out to the Shops of Avondale. If you had a little too much to eat and drink the night before, you can get a little exercise at the Avondale 5K. Vicki Watkins and Karen Tucker, thanks so much.
Thanks, Melissa. Appreciate it.
Much more events to talk about in a moment, including WJCT's big Unity Plaza concert. That's next.
When Larry came home to Alaska from Iraq, he relied on the VA.
VA kind of made this promise that, you know, they're going to take care of me.
And they did, until Congress tried to reform it.
With this new program, if it's working somewhere, I don't know where, but it's definitely not working here. It's probably the worst thing that's happened to veterans' health care in Alaska.
On the next Reveal.
Thursday at 1 on 89.9 WJCT.
If you're looking for the best blues show, look to the Blues Horizon. Each week, join me for the best blues, both classic and contemporary. Blues Horizon, every Monday night at 11 p.m. on WJCT 89.9 FM radio. Take a ride with us to some unknown places of musical light and shade. Blues Horizon, every Monday night at 11 on 89.9 FM. So many roads.
Welcome back, finally, this hour from the Capitol Steps to Wine, Women, and Shoes. Lots to do all around the First Coast this weekend. I'm coming up, so you better get this party started. Here she is to take us all around town. We welcome the Mistress of Mayhem, the Maven of Mirth, the almost weirdest person in Jacksonville, according to Folio Weekly. Carrie Speckman is here today.
You know what?
You came in second in their category.
No, third. Came in third.
You're the third most weird person in Jacksonville.
Weirdo. There's a difference between weird and weirdo. I won last year. So
oh, really?
I don't know if that's like a compliment or an insult.
I don't know. Like how is this sitting with you?
Not very well, actually. But Corrine Brown beat somebody.
Oh.
She beat me. She won something.
You're not under indictment, so you got that going for you.
Maybe I am.
No. Never.
I'm not. I'm not clever enough.
You are clever enough to do this segment.
Speaking of which, too congratulations much mirth and merriment. On all of your arms full of awards.
Why, thank you. Best. There's going to be so
radio
much winning.
Station.
We're going to be sick of winning.
Hashtag winning.
Winning. No. Let's talk about events. Let's keep the focus on you, my friend. Tell me what is happening this weekend.
Here's what you need to know. And I know we're short on time, so we will talk quickly. Tonight, Tim Gilmore, does he write a book like every week or what? Seriously.
Basically.
Oh my gosh. How does he do that?
Yeah.
This is his 13th book. It's Devil in the Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. He will be reading from it tonight at UNF. It is free. They're going to have a Q&A.
He was on the other day. This is about the local pastor that molested a lot of children.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's free tonight. Capital Steps, what to expect when you are electing.
They are coming to FSCJ South tonight through Sunday. Go see the show. They are hilarious.
Yeah,
and it's a perfect election season to go check them out.
And if that is not enough election comedy for you, you could go tonight to Florida Theater for the Second City Unelectable You.
Yeah, that's funny too. Like, I don't even know which one to pick.
I think that one's more improv.
Yeah, that's
the
Second City improv
more,
style.
Yeah, the other one's more planned out.
Now let's quickly mention Wine, Women, and Shoes. I am going to this thing Saturday morning.
When there's one called Beer, Broads, and Sneakers, I'll go to that one. I think I might
Beer, Broads, and Boots.
And Sneakers. Well, those aren't, that's not all W. So
Wine, Sneakers. Women, and Shoes coming up Saturday to benefit Big Brothers, Big Sisters. This is at the Jesse Ball DuPont Center.
It's quite.
Apparently, you walk in at 10 in the morning and they hand you a glass of wine.
Yeah. And
which
I
sounds
went to take
really
pictures
good to me.
For the shoe cam one time. And there were like shoes everywhere. My neck was breaking trying to grab people to take shoes. You better get your.
You gotta
shoe
wear
game
your nicest
on, girl.
Shoes. Oh, I will.
Don't be rolling up in some nasty flip flops.
I am ready.
All right.
I picked out my shoes.
You know what? I bet I know which ones they are. I took a picture of them one time. Does that sound weird? Probably. Never mind.
Last but not least, the Armada play the Rayo OKC Saturday at Community First. And, Intuition Ale Works party beforehand.
I guess since they just opened, are having a block party before each game.
That's nice. And the Jaguars play at home Sunday against Baltimore.
Yes.
Go to the
Spectator. That is correct.
Yes, thespectator.com for all those weekend events. Now, we want to talk about our big event, WJCT's Thank You Concert, which is Friday night at Unity Plaza in Brooklyn. Our own maestro of music, David Luckin.
Whoa.
Put this all together.
See, Carrie, I only get one.
David
maestro.
Luckin,
you
has
get all those.
Over the years, David Luckin has masterminded about 10,000 great things.
Well, I'm in this with Ryan Banker.
And he has done this with you.
He's helping me out.
And what's happening?
It's a great lineup. Let's do the lineup first. Ali Roer, Billy and Bella, Madison Carr, Complicated Animals, Junko Royals. We've got our fingers crossed. They've got a gig before ours, and we're hoping they will get there in time. And wrapping it all up and really helping us so much is Mike Burnos, Spice, and the Po' Boys. Although I should probably say Spice and the Po' Boys with Mike because Spice is so good. She's
good. She's
and this
really
is just a thank you, a free thank you concert to all of our listeners.
It is a live Electro Lounge program from 7 to 10. So we'll be spinning
You'll
in
be
between.
Live on the air.
Yep. So do come out. And this is it's on us. It's just our way of saying thank you for supporting us all year long. And more recently, our last pledge drive. This is the way we pay you back.
Here's a little bit of a listen to one of the local bands that will be performing Friday night at Unity Plaza at the WJCT concert. This is Billy and Bella.
Drive the lazy roads that run the lost coast.
They sound great.
Yeah, they're really good. Everyone is really good. It's all styles of music. Junko Royals are more old-time jazz. These folks are like alt-country. Mike Burnos and Spice do kind of New Orleans kind of soul. There's a little jazz. There's a little bit of everything for everyone, and we'll fill in between with the usual eclectic mix.
That's right. And you'll be spinning Brian Bank, host of Indie Endeavor, our own Indie Endeavor show. He will be on hand.
A lot of the staff. Lindsay Kilbride from our news department, Jessica Palumbo, Ryan Bank, of course, to MC. Hopefully Kevin will come out. Hopefully Carrie will come out. We're in your neighborhood, Carrie.
That's right. Spectator.
Right. There's no ditch to cross.
No.
That's right.
I don't have that excuse.
Roll on over there.
And a million people to do selfies with, so you'll be fine.
That's true. I just got one with Senator out there.
I know. Lucky you.
So come on out Friday night, 7 o'clock.
And we'll spin early.
To Unity Plaza.
If you come early, we'll have some music there for you. It's a great location, and thanks to Hobnob and the Bricks and whoever else is helping us there. Is it Bricks Pizza?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll have to hop in there and have a slice of pizza.
So it's they're making it possible by lending us their space so we could bring you a free concert.
It's the WJCT Unity Plaza Thank You Concert this Friday night from 7 to 10 right there in the Unity Plaza Amphitheater, which is right out front there on Riverside Avenue. Come meet David and all of us and enjoy some great local music. We're going to close with a little bit more of Billy and Bella. And thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross. Enjoy the music. We'll be back tomorrow at 9 a.m.
First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.